Ah, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, Copper, go ahead and double check and make sure you got clip three good to go. I know it's been a while since I asked you, so if you could specially ready that one. You got it? You good to go? Okay, so here's the deal. Let's talk about latest developments. So you heard me unpack earlier sort of the history, the lay of the land, how we got here, what we're looking at. I mean, I'm looking right now. It's the nonstop news cycle right now on Fox, here on the big screen in the studio. And they're titling it right now, Showdown Over Ukraine. 8,500 troops, by the way, I'm looking at the article just to make sure, and there's 8,500 personnel stateside. So we're not looking at something different like a deployment to Europe for pre-positioning. This is separate. So 8,500 personnel placed on a deployment heightened since state of alert, which basically is a pre-deployment warning order. It's a get ready to go order. Do all the things you got to do. That's basically what they do is they start canceling leaves. They start calling people in. They start getting the logistics established. They start squaring away issues for the railhead and getting the everybody, you know, up on the green ramp at Fort Bragg or wherever they're going to do this from. And so, folks, yeah, it's big doings. But they're not moving yet. They're not moving, but still, this is a posture. It's a forward-leaning posture for the U.S. forces. Well, there's a lot of things happening in the world that surround this, and so, Copper, let's do this. Greg Palcott from Fox News gave one of the best short summaries this morning that I've heard, and so I grabbed that sound clip. Copper, let's go ahead and play clip three.
Continues now live from Kiev, Ukrainian capital city. Our senior foreign affairs correspondent, Greg Palcott, back on the ground today. And Greg, where are we there? Hello.
Yeah, Bill, we're watching and waiting. The people watching very carefully. The Russian troops massing on the other sides of their borders. The latest moves that we're seeing, Bill, is in neighboring Belarus. That country is literally 50 miles from where we are right now. What are called record numbers of Russian soldiers, along with tanks, artillery, and other hardware, is flowing in there. Total figures now well over 125,000 soldiers on most sides of Ukraine. This is the Ukraine government is still assessing the news over the weekend from the UK that it has information that Russia is plotting to install that puppet government here. That's in line with some things that the U.S. is saying. Analysts here say that could really only happen if Russia decides to invade and if it succeeds. Now, trying to help fend off that, yes, shipments of U.S. military aid arriving here over the weekend, a total of 180 tons so far of what they call lethal aid, like ammunition, destined for Ukrainian troops battling Russian-backed separatists already in eastern Ukraine, as the U.S. acts on several fronts with ramifications. Take a look. The evacuation of U.S. diplomats, families, and non-essential workers from here in Kyiv begins as early as today. Experts tell us the move says something about what the U.S. is thinking about a possible Russian invasion.
All right, so what you heard there was a series of things happening. Hey, Copper, grab the mic.
Yes.
So that was clip three. Go ahead. I think we're going to need to hear clip two in a minute. And I did grab the mic there because I wanted to make sure I was still live, by the way, because when the sound went off, I thought for a second there I had lost my feed. All right. Thanks, Copper. Go ahead and get clip two ready if you don't mind. And so you heard several things from Greg Palcott there. I want to refresh those for you. TheHill.com reporting that as of 2 days ago, TheHill.com reporting that what he just said, yes, the U.S. is providing some what we call lethal aid. There's lethal and non-lethal versions of aid. You can send foodstuffs and medical supplies and all that kind of stuff non-lethal. Does that help you stop an invasion force? Well, it might help you sustain. It doesn't help you necessarily to stop or to deter. Well, right now we have sent some form of lethal aid, which sounds like it's mostly in the form of small arms and ammunition for the small arms. That's great, but that's not the big doings. The big doings is going to wind up being, can they get something heavier in there? Something that can stop basically the overwhelming force that the Russians can bring to bear on air and armor. And so, no, we don't see Stingers and Javelins coming from U.S. right now. However, separate story. Off of BreakingDefense.com. BreakingDefense.com reports that as of this weekend, the defense ministers of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania announced that they have received approval from D.C. to send U.S.-made anti-tank weaponry to Ukraine and anti-air Stinger missiles. So you got Javelins, anti-armor, you got Stingers, anti-aircraft, and the adjacent equipment that goes along with them being sent from what I would call proxy suppliers. So how's that work? Well, we sold, because of a NATO alliance, we sold perhaps Lithuania X number of Stingers. And then we said, wink, wink, hey, Lithuania, we're not going to send them ourselves, but we don't mind if you sell some. And so next thing you know, the surplus that maybe got more than what Lithuania asked for from the U.S., they can now sell the surplus over to, with our permission, because there is probably going to be what they call a SOFA agreement, a status of forces agreement, that governs how the U.S. military and the U.S. Or the Lithuanian military will interact. There was going to also be on it being international compacts on the sales and, truthfully, contracts. And they probably had some restrictions. So you had to have a modification of the contract, perhaps even a modification of the SOFA, if there's going to be some kind of training involved with it. And now they're, boom, they're going out. So all said and done, small arms, Stingers, Javelins en route to Ukraine. That's big doings. Now, you heard the thing about Russia purported to plan to has a plan to install a pro-Kremlin leadership. Part of what started all the Crimea situation, not just the fact that there was unrest in the Crimea and Russia wanted it, it was precipitated by the fact that they had a former president who was very Russian-leaning, and protests threw him out. When he refused to join the European Union, and most of the people of the nation of Ukraine wanted to join the EU, they overthrew his government. And so now what we're hearing is Russia wants to reinstall. They've already picked out who they want. Now, granted, that won't happen unless there's an invasion, I would dare say. But the statements being given by British intelligence are that former Ukrainian Member of Parliament Yevhen Muryaev is being considered as a potential candidate. He heads Nashi, a small pro-Russian political party. And they don't even have any representation right now in Ukraine's parliament, but he's been hand-selected by Putin to be potentially ready to take office should they have to install a government. There's lots of things. I mean, I don't know that I can even get to all the stories, but I think one of the ones that galls me the most is what I heard last night, and it's still up right now. Let me go find that story and see if I can pull it back down again. But literally what we're seeing right now is that the State Department, in a call, said that there was no ability for the U.S. State Department to be prepared to evacuate Americans from Ukraine if Russia invades. They literally said that on a call last night. Jennifer Griffin, Fox News' Pentagon correspondent, said last night in a tweet that she was on the call, and she quoted it directly, that they had no ability to be able to rescue Americans. I got a caller. I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and finish up this hour with Bob from Athens. Hey, Bob, I got about a minute here on Right Side. How you doing today? Did we lose Copper? We got Bob? Yeah, hey, Bob. Here. Hey, Bob, Phil Williams from Right Side. I got about a minute before we go to the break. What's on your mind?
Okay, I'm a veteran of the Cold War. You're a veteran of the War on Terror. I'm not afraid of Joe Biden. Are you afraid of Joe Biden? If you were Putin, would you be afraid of Joe Biden?
No, I don't think my neighbor's house cat's afraid of Joe Biden right now.
I think the outcome is inevitable. Russia will go military.
Well, I think right now they're certainly posturing that way. And I'm not sure that we're ever going to see, and we shouldn't, we should not guarantee to Putin that we will not expand NATO beyond what anybody wants to have it, because that would be Putin dictating things to us. But right now, Bob, I mean, I'll be honest with you. And by the way, I served through the Cold War too. It was an unusual time. Everything was geared towards, you know, the Fold a Gap and the Soviets coming through, and then it pivoted after 9/11. But you're right. Not much to fear there right now, it appears.
Good luck.
All right. Hey, Bob, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you being in the audience. Thanks for your service. We appreciate you very much. Well, folks, I've spent 2 hours on number one of the Triple Dipper, and I could keep going. I have not even gotten to all of the material that I had resourced out and highlighted and circled and gotten ready for you. But we're going to shift, all right? I'm going to move to something else on the Triple Dipper. Coming up at the top of the hour, Dale Strong, running for Congress, county commissioner right here in Madison County. And listen, he also participated in the March for Life last week, which was a huge march on the pro-life movement. Just really marching to say it's time for Roe v. Wade to be repealed. Oh, yeah. We'll talk to Dale Strong when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back.